Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Outlaws, Rick Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Big show today on Fantasy Baseball Today. Welcome, everybody. I'm Adam Azer with Scott White and Al Melchior. It is Wednesday, August 10th, and we'll try to take some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Oh man, it's middle infield day. We're going to talk about some good ones like Neil Walker and Logan Forsyth, some struggling ones like Jonathan Scope. It's bullpen day. What a crazy day around the bullpens in baseball. And hi guys, how are you? It's Scott White now, Melchior Day. How's it going, fellas?
I'm good. You know, I love middle infield day, so all's good.
Yep. Yep. A lot of good middle infielders.
Yes. Yes, it has been middle infield year, really. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of programming notes. Tomorrow is going to be, I keep saying like blank day, like who will have a big finish day? Kind of look at some players who are they going to have a big finish. Paul Goldschmidt, he homered yesterday. Lorenzo Cain, we haven't talked about him. Could he have a big finish? Some other guys will be on that list. So if you want to email us with some suggestions, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. A couple of other programming notes. I think this might be the last week. I don't know. I get a lot of mixed reaction on this, guys. This might be the last week for the theme song. Some people feel like it's kind of run its course.
Well, even the shortened version? Because the shortened version is really short, right?
That's what I thought. I think people are being, I don't know, people are being a little, they're bugging me about it. But I have to listen to the voice of the people. I love it. I think it's one of the best things that's ever happened to the show, but I might be retiring it soon.
Well, I could understand the full version, that getting old. And maybe, because do you play the full version at the beginning any day of the week?
Once a week
anymore?
On Fridays.
Once a week?
It's a maybe. Friday treat.
Yeah. Maybe zero times a week would be better.
But
I don't know.
Still,
that would be the only change I'd make. But I don't hear these voices that you're hearing.
I want people to let me know on Twitter, via email. Let me know what you think, and I'll make a decision. Also, look, it's fantasy football season. Please listen to our Fantasy Football Today podcast. We also have a college football podcast, SEC on CBS. You can check that out. But at some point soon, within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be changing the time slots. Football is going to be going early at 9 a.m. Baseball is going to be more like 11:30, so it'll be published about 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. I do apologize for that, but just quite frankly, got a lot of more football right now. So
second-class sport, that baseball.
I wish it weren't the case, but that's kind of what's happening. And we have one more programming announcement. I'm going to throw it over to Al Melchior for this one.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm counting down the days to my finale on this podcast.
Yeah, that's just terrible.
Yep. Now I am leaving CBS at the end of this week. So we're
counting down the days. You're at less than two, less than three.
Yeah, it's a short countdown. You know, yeah. to make it easy to handle. So, I'm moving on. Plans to be announced hopefully shortly for what the next step is. But this is going to be very, very bittersweet rest of the week for me here.
This is gut wrenching. Gut wrenching. Like
it's sad.
I love Al Melchior. I don't know. I don't even care if he hears me right now. I straight up love Al Melchior.
I'm here, Adam.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you.
Well, I'm going to miss you.
You should want him to hear you. That's a nice sentiment.
It is very nice.
No, how many years have we been working together now? I'm not even sure.
Well, I mean,
lost count.
In terms of like working together, being in the building at the same time, this is our sixth season. But we've been on the team together for 9 seasons. Because you started, 9 years ago, right? No,
mm-hmm.
Roughly. And
so
around the same time, I started here as a freelance columnist for 2 years and then came on board full time. Is that first year you had a night shift, right?
Yeah.
So we barely saw each other.
Right.
But the last 6 seasons, I've worked, Scott, more closely with you than anybody in any job.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is quite the departure. This is like breaking up Maurer and Morneau, you know? This is big.
Now look, Al, you could always take a play out of my playbook and say you're leaving and then just completely make it up and actually come back. Just, you know,
That would be welcome. Yes.
Yeah,
I'd
be
okay
great.
With that.
Like I said, future plans TBD. So, so who knows?
That'd be great.
Can we say where you're going physically? Like,
oh,
where you're moving?
Of course. Yeah. Come see me in Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah. Al wanted to find the one place in the country he hadn't lived yet, so he's going to Bozeman, Montana.
And the good news is if you go to Montana, he should be easy to pick out.
Why? He'll be like the tallest?
No, be like one of 40 people there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, look, it's sad,
but... The Montana resident isn't laughing. I don't know if I...
I'll be the 41st.
Yeah.
It's also great news for Al. He's going to... Whatever he does out there will be great, and we're happy for him. And he's going to be on tomorrow's show, and he's going to be on Friday, right?
Absolutely. So, like I said, counting it down. So, 3, 2, 1. Each of the next 3 days.
Yeah, so if you have any... Your favorite Al memories, anything like that, feel free to email or tweet. We are at Adam Azer, AIZER. At CBS Scott White, at Al Melk CBS, AlMelc CBS. Let's get into fantasy baseball, guys. Name of the day. I've been waiting for this guy to do something. Jabari Bash hit a home run. Is he anything more than just a really cool name? He's an outfielder for the Padres, and he homered yesterday.
You might see more of that because that's his one, or at least his best tool. I don't want to say his one tool, but... Yeah, that's you can hope for a lot more bashing from Jabari Bash over the next, you know, almost 2 months.
He's the Billy Burns of power, in that his name it describes what he does.
Yeah, I guess. Except, isn't it Blash?
It is.
It's Blash.
Yeah,
it is
Blash. The start of the joke.
I thought you were being funny.
I thought maybe it was an autocorrect thing.
I've seen
Bash.
This guy. I've read the box score every single day he's played, and every single time I read his name is Bash.
It's Blash, but you know there's a lot of possibilities there. You know he Blash did that homer.
Yeah, wow. You know Blashed what? Friday's gonna be my last day. That was really bad. Oh my God. I keep seeing his name every single day. Bash, bash, bash. I guess Blash. That's just what I want to see. Okay.
Well,
Jabari
Blash.
Who
also bashed a homer last night, according, and this is autocorrect, Yasmani Grandad.
Yes, he did. we talked about Grandad yesterday, but you got to pick up Yasmani Grandal if he's available. He's playing a lot and he's hitting really well. Good for him.
You know what's funny is like, I had to double check to make sure I was right. Like, cause Al was just going along with it. Jabari Bash. That's why I hesitated. I was typing in the name to make sure I was right about this.
No, it didn't even occur to me that you were being serious.
I wasn't being serious. It was totally an autocorrect. Good call, guys. Okay, next segment here. Tell me if, and by the way, we have pretty important injury news on Michael Wacha, on Michael Brantley, on Giancarlo Stanton, and Bryce Harper. But tell me if this is more than just a hot streak for the following four players. Jorge Soler, 4 games since coming off the DL. He is 6-for-16 with 2 home runs and a double. Is this more than just a hot streak for Soler?
It could be. I know it's not the answer you wanted. You wanted a simple yes or no, but I can't do that based on 4 games. But, we've seen what Soler could do during stretches, both in the minors and the majors. So it's not, you know, it's certainly... It's hard to write this one off as, oh, you know, it's just a few good games off the DL. We've been waiting for a Jorge Soler breakout. Or at least I have.
Of course. But I would lean no because of the sample size, you know? And the fact that I'd be surprised if he played every day because that would kind of bump Javier Baez from the lineup permanently.
Yeah, he did play. Baez sat yesterday. Soler was started in the outfield. This is his first game in an NL park since coming back. Okay, we'll keep an eye on it. Doesn't sound like you guys are so urgent to go out and get Soler, but if you have a roster spot, maybe not the worst idea. How about Billy Hamilton? Billy Hamilton has stolen 9 bases in his last 3 games, and he's 6-for-11 with 4 walks in those 3 games. Forget about the musical. This is the Hamilton you need to know about. Billy Hamilton, is this more than just a hot streak? Scott White.
You preconceived that line, didn't you? That wasn't on off the cuff.
I preconceived it just before the show started.
Okay.
But not when I did the notes.
I'm actually excited about Billy Hamilton because he has been as aggressive on the bases as I can remember him being. And this is what, you know, he was hyped as when he first came up, top prospect with legendary speed. And obviously that translates to production. Now, will he hit enough to keep this up? I think it's within the realm of possibility for a guy as fast as he is. His BABIP was underwhelming early in his career. And part of that may be because he had a Willie Mays Hayes thing going on, at least Major League 2 version. A lot more ground balls this year.
Wait,
so,
what was the Major League 2 version? Did he go back to the Omar Epps version? Did he go back to hitting fly balls?
Well, in Major League 1, he was just a good fast guy, right? I mean, he wanted to steal 100 bases or something, and he was nailing the gloves to the wall, right?
Yeah, he started out popping it up, and then Lou Brown told him, every time you do that, you owe me 20 push-ups.
Well, I think it was the storyline in the second. He was intentionally trying to be a power hitter.
You're
and
right.
Kept flying out.
Very Omar Epps of him. Yeah.
Just short of the wall,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think you're right. Okay, I get it. I'm following now.
All right.
So look, if you take away this 3-game stretch for Billy Hamilton, you look at the 25 games before that, he still hit 270 with a 324 on base, 8 walks, 20 strikeouts, 15 runs, and 20 steals in 25 games. So it is extended hot streak here for Billy Hamilton, and I guess obviously a must start right now in any format. Just the way he's been in points league, he's been great lately.
Yeah. Unless you have a points league that rewards 1 point for a steal. And I hate that. I get why people do it because probably steals are overvalued in fantasy, but really changes the equation.
I would think he provides enough in bulk that even in that format,
I'd be a lot more skeptical of him remaining.
Yeah, that's fair.
Much of a bulk contributor. That was terrible wording, but you follow me.
Alex Bregman, last 4 games, 6 for 18 with 3 doubles, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, but 3 of those 6-6 came in 1 game. What do you think about Bregman right now?
Yeah, that's fine. This is confirmation of what he did in the minors this year. So I'm glad that Bregman got the chance to stay in the lineup after that horrible start. I think fantasy owners by and large have stuck by Bregman, at least stashing him. So, I think we'll see much more of this type of production going forward than, closer to what we saw initially from him.
Tom Kohler, 7 scoreless innings last night with 16 swinging strikes. And he is a swinging strikes machine lately. His last 4 starts, Tom Kohler is 3-0 with a .67 ERA. With 23 strikeouts in 27 innings and a 14% swinging strike rate. He's had double-digit swinging strikes. That's like a tongue twister. We're getting to the point now. In all 4 of these starts, including 16 twice. So, wow. I mean, Kohler, this is, I would imagine, one of the best, if not the best stretch of his career, just in terms of whiffs. Is this anything more than just a hot streak for Tom Kohler?
In terms of the strikeouts and the swings and misses, I think it could just be a short-term thing. We've certainly seen this from pitchers where, they'll do this out of nowhere for, as many as maybe, 6 starts or so. But, what I'm more impressed with Kohler is the improved control. Cause that's always been, something that's really limited his upside. And out of his last 12 starts, in 10 of them, he's had either 2 walks or fewer. So that's a big improvement there. So even if the strikeout rate doesn't maintain itself, I think between the improved control, pitching half of his games in Marlins Park, where he's typically been pretty good, Kohler has really elevated his fantasy value.
So would you guys drop Luis Severino for Tom Kohler?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Nope.
Would you rather have Kohler or Wade Miley?
Kohler.
Yeah.
Would you rather stash Tyler Glasnow or pick up Kohler?
I think I'd rather stash Glasnow.
Alrighty.
In the hopes of winning the lottery there.
Yeah, me too.
Glasnow will make a rehab start on Saturday. Big news for you. Prince Fielder, unfortunately, likely done playing, according to Fox Sports. He's got 4 more years left on his contract, over $24 million per year due to him, but the neck injury, just too bad. And Fielder we might have an announcement later today about his career. Michael Brantley dealing with biceps tendonitis. Is there a reason? If you have a roster, look, if you have a DL spot, then you do whatever. But if you have a roster crunch, is there a reason to stash Brantley at this point?
Not with this news, no. It's one that could possibly require another surgery. And he's going to run out of weeks rehabbing it. So I think it's probably a waste of time at this point.
Is it a waste of time to pick up Mike Minor?
In most leagues, I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued, but not enough to invest a roster spot.
Carlos Gonzalez sat with a sore ankle, and MRI did not show any new damage for Carlos Gonzalez. Hooray. And then two sluggers who have been disappointing this year. They're both a little banged up. Giancarlo Stanton, he left with a sore hip. Stanton's going to sit today. It was a scheduled day off for him. So they're not too concerned, it doesn't seem, in Miami. And Bryce Harper was out again with a stiff neck. And they did seem a little bit concerned about it. Have you guys seen or heard anything about this neck issue here with Bryce Harper?
Yeah, but I mean, nothing definitive, other than that, just that this is day to day. But yeah, the fact that he was out again makes me worry that maybe there's a DL stint. But again, I haven't seen anything at all to indicate that's going to be a reality.
So a 233 hitter that's banged up, we should drop him, right?
Nah.
Thank you. That was not contrived, Scott. That was just...
Thinking on your feet right there.
There you go. Call-ups that people need to know about. So Michael Wacha has a potentially serious shoulder injury. He's on the DL. He may miss the rest of the season. They're talking about, you know, his future in the rotation right now. Just going, like, his future, not this
right.
year. It's, right. It stinks.
Well, yeah, because this is at least related to the injury that shut him down, I think it was two seasons ago. With the it's a stress reaction in the scapula, and the Cardinals medical staff is trying to prevent that from becoming a stress fracture. So the fact that this is, you know, popped up again seems like very, very bad news for Wacha.
This is such a bad day, right? Depressing stuff. Yeah. Fielder's done. Wacha may be done as a starter. Al's leaving. Wow. What a worst podcast of the year right here.
I know. Well, wait a second. Well, no.
Well,
I mean,
the good news is that you guys are getting Luke Weaver to replace me. So
Luke Weaver.
Yeah, Luke Weaver is replacing Michael Wacha in the rotation. Alex Reyes was called up and he's in the bullpen right now. Should we pick up Luke Weaver?
I mean, it's not as big of a rush to the waiver wire as if Reyes was the one inserted in the rotation. But I like Weaver kind of in a... Not in an elite prospect sort of way, because that's not what he is, but that next level, like I could see him impressing kind of like Joe Musgrove has. I think in a standard 12 team league, I would wait to see that first start before making a move, but, a guy who, you know, has a good mix of pitches, throw strikes, really a big jump in strikeout rate at Double A this year after, you know, not having many strikeouts at all last year, but this is like 2 years in a row where his ERA has been around 150 or something. So definitely an interesting pitcher.
All right. No reason to pick up Reyes right now.
No, not that. I mean, obviously keeper league's different situation, but don't see him making an impact this year.
The Mets are calling up TJ Rivera. How about him? Are we picking up TJ Rivera?
No, but I love that show back in the 80s.
I don't know what you're talking about.
These are the references we're going to make.
Yeah. Especially, it's a reference. It just sounds like it should have been an 80s cop show.
What, TJ Rivera?
Yeah.
So it's a completely fictitious reference.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow, Al. I barely get any of your references as it is. The ones that you're just going to make up, I have no chance. Now, the Yankees could call up, once Alex Rodriguez finishes on Friday, they could call up Aaron Judge or Tyler Austin, who has a 1048 OPS this year in AAA. Absolutely killing it. He is 24 years old and had dealt with some injuries, but healthy now and having a great year. Judge, Austin, any other prospects right now? As we're getting close to the call-up time, any other prospects that you want on your roster?
Well, I mean, I think Judge himself, it would be limited to five outfielder leagues. And I would continue to list Hunter Renfro as an option for those same formats, although Jabari Blash would help if he wasn't homering.
To be fair, Blash has been pretty
mostly
bad.
Yeah.
Just has a cool name, I thought.
Obviously, Ulieski Gurriel. I would think that's obvious, but he's still, I think, owned in like 40% of leagues or something like that.
Yeah.
He's going to be up, I would guess, next week.
Yeah, no, it's not obvious. I mean, just actually got an email this morning from somebody. I'm trying to find it now. But it was basically, do I need to stash Ulieski Gurriel?
And you, yes, betcha.
You do. So.
Yep.
All right, cool, guys. Look, I talked about Alex Rodriguez retiring. Let's just say, hypothetically, I liked Alex Rodriguez. And let's say I wanted to go see him play his final game Friday night at Yankee Stadium. I've got the SeatGeek app. It's so easy to use. It makes finding tickets to games and concerts a simple process. SeatGeek does all the work for you by pulling in tickets from multiple ticket sites. So you never miss a deal. You don't have to do all the searching on your own. So now I select Friday's Yankees game. I see green dots all over the place on the app. Different shades of green. What does it mean? These are your deals. The darker the shade, the better the deal. So those are the ones I look at first. I want the best bargain. Or you can sort by price if that's what you're looking for. And you can see the view from your seat. It's a really, really cool feature. It's a really cool app. SeatGeek is the only place I go for tickets now. So start using it. Because our listeners get a $20 rebate after their first SeatGeek purchase. To get that $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY today.
That was a seamless transition, Adam.
Yeah.
I think Al and I both smiled when you went into that SeatGeek read because you really had us going with that. Let's say I liked A-Rod and wanted to see him.
Like, oh, you're about to tell us you're going on Friday? What? Yeah.
You know, I'm not opposed to it. The tickets are actually a little bit cheaper than I expected for just to get in the stadium. But I don't really like Alex Rodriguez. I think the only reason I do like him at all is because of the Miami connection, the University of Miami.
I was going to say the Miami connection and the Yankees connection. I would think you'd at least be conflicted.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm not saying he's a bad person and I'm not judging him, but as a ball player, he cheated and he lied about it multiple times. And, you know, basically tried to burn down the Yankees front office when he was guilty as heck. So I don't know how I can like Alex Rodriguez. You know, I'm not going to hold him to a different standard because he's on my favorite team. No, that's my soapbox for the day.
That's big of you, I guess.
I'm serious, you know.
Okay.
That's a principled stand for your team.
Yeah. All right. In the bullpen. This is crazy. I've got like 12 people in the bullpen section notes today. Cam Bradosian's on the DL.
Ah.
With a finger injury. I picked up an Angels reliever in our 16-team league because I lost AJ Ramos and Fernando Rodney's owned. I don't even remember who I picked up.
Yeah. By the way, Adam, you're going to want me to leave the show after I do this, but you did it again. You got the name wrong.
Bedrosian.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said Bedrosian. Yeah. Bedrosian. that one I caught myself. Who do you want? Because I went and I looked at MLB depth charts and I looked at who their setup man was listed. And then I looked at the last few games and saw the same guy was setting up. Who do you guys want in the Angels bullpen? If
nobody, I don't care. Do what you want because I don't want anything to do with any of them.
Yeah,
I think it'll be Fernando Salas, but like 3-4 years ago, I would have been sort of excited about that.
I mean, it's worth noting the Angels aren't getting save opportunities anyway, so this is kind of like a Tony Cingrani situation. A, he's not good, and B, you might not want him even if he is good. So
yeah, he might just hurt your whip and ERA.
Yeah,
even if he gets you a save here or there. Speaking of, who did you just say? Oh, Tony Cingrani. Yeah,
yes.
We had a save last night from Raisel Iglesias. Cingrani was not available. But do you see, I read a C-Tran Rosecrans article in the Inquirer today, and they're being very cautious with Iglesias because of his arm injuries, so it seems like they're not ready to use him as a closer yet. What do you see happening there in Cincinnati?
Maybe then go with Michael Lorenzen, because, I feel like I've been saying this for weeks and weeks, but I just don't see how Cingrani can survived at the end of the season. He's just not been very good, not good enough to be a closer.
Well, he wasn't available, but he had also given up, what, 5 runs in his previous outing?
Yeah. But he had been good. I know peripherally he wasn't, but he had been effective before that.
But it's just one of those situations where you know that's going to come back to haunt him. And it did in that game, and I think it'll happen again.
All right, by the way, it was Fernando Salas that I picked up in the Angels bullpen. Adam Ottavino is going to get the bulk of the save chances for now. Estevez has been removed from that situation. Oh, well, Cody Allen got a save. How about that? Wasn't that great?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to gloss over the Ottavino thing because that's probably the most exciting pickup here that we've just named between the Reds, Angels, and Rockies. Ottavino has like a 1.20 ERA over his last 60 appearances. Span of 3 years, but still.
We were all over that yesterday. Hopefully people listened.
Oh, fine. All right, yeah, so Cody Allen got a save, and Andrew Miller entered in the 7th, right?
Yep.
Man.
It's facing lefty.
It is. Terry Francona is really getting on my nerves.
Can't drop either of them, I feel like.
Now, Terry Francona didn't manage yesterday, right?
I wasn't aware of that.
No, he didn't. He had some chest issues, I believe. He and, well, I know Bruce Bochy didn't
Bruce
manage,
Bochy, yeah.
But
that's
also Francona, I don't know if that makes any difference, but I don't think he was managing yesterday.
Well, that's a bold move for an interim manager to make, huh?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Terry Francona. You're good.
Yeah, he did miss yesterday. He had some chest pains.
Fill-in manager, not even interim. That's...
Yeah. But no, I don't know. I don't know what to do here. What do you guys say?
Definitely hold on to Miller. Depending on how available saves are in on the waivers in your league, probably hold on to Allen too. Start neither, except, you know, maybe Miller in a roto league because he helps so much in the other categories, but, it's not a for sure thing.
I agree. You need to keep both. I just, you know, this week I have 2 leagues where I have both of them, and in both of them I started Miller and benched Allen. So hopefully between now and Monday I'll figure out a better way to deal with that.
Do you see any changes coming in the bullpens in Chicago with David Robertson, Kansas City, where Kelvin Herrera has struggled since taking over the closer's role, Pittsburgh, where Tony Watson's gotten 3 saves but has struggled a little bit since taking over the role, Detroit, where Francisco Rodriguez has had 3 bad outings in his last 4, or Texas, where Sam Dyson did get his 25th save but gave up a walk and a hit in a scoreless inning at Colorado. And I don't know where the strikeouts have gone for him. He struck out nearly a batter per inning last year. Dyson has struck out 14 batters in 26 and two-thirds since June 1st. So again, I gave you the White Sox, the Royals, the Pirates, the Tigers, and the Rangers. Do you see any changes coming in those bullpens?
I think the most likely ones are probably the White Sox and the Tigers. The White Sox, because I think David Robertson could be a candidate to get waived and traded. And K-Rod, just because the Tigers are in the playoff hunt, and I don't think that they're going to be all that patient with Rodriguez. I also think that they don't have great alternatives.
Right.
I mean, he's the most reliable closer they've had since I don't even know who.
And I would,
as long as I can remember.
Yeah. In terms of replacement, maybe Shane Green. I'm really not sure that there's anybody obvious there.
Yeah. I would guess he doesn't get replaced.
Nate Jones is having a great year, and maybe he's a guy to stash in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely. That's clear. He would be the clear replacement if something happened.
Fernando Rodney got a save. Mauricio Cabrera got a save. Jim Johnson had pitched in 2 straight games. AJ Ramos is on the DL. Craig Kimbrel was really bad yesterday. He wasn't very hittable, but he walked 4 batters in 2/3 of an inning. First time pitching in 5 days, so probably just shaking off the rust. And Ken Giles allowed his first run since June 18th, which means since my birthday, he hadn't allowed any runs because my birthday's on the 19th. So this is another guy who's been great since my birthday.
Sure that has something to do with it.
I think that's it for the bullpen. Good for us. It is middle infield day, guys, and it started with this email from the BH Surfers. I know what that is. That's not. You know.
I was going to say, did you abbreviate that?
No, he did.
Okay.
He said cordially, the BH Surfers. And let's see if Scott gets this reference. I know Al won't, unless he just makes something up.
Oh, I know. Said. I know.
Oh, you got it? To Brockway, Ogdenville, and North Haverbrook. By God, I put them on the map.
Yeah. Those are the towns around Springfield that got a monorail from Lyle Langley.
Yep, sure did.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say something, Scott, that people are going to really disagree with. Monorail What's episode, that? One of the most overrated episodes.
Ooh.
People say it's one of the best ever. I think it's one of the most overrated Simpsons episodes.
It's, you know, the distinction that may inflate its status a bit is that that was the episode that was Conan O'Brien primarily wrote. Like he helped, he was obviously on the writing team for a lot of that season, but that was his episode. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the most famous writer credit in the show's history.
Maybe that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one, but it's not one of my favorites. Okay, here's the question from the BH Surfers. I have had a love-hate affair with Neil Walker over the past several seasons. I've bought in the past only to have my own moments over and over. So Walker is again on a hot streak, but so is Devin Travis. Who would you project as being more productive rest of season, Neil Walker or Devin Travis?
I think Travis will. I think both could provide a similar amount of power, but I think Travis will just hit for the better average.
Walker's hot right now, though. I mean, just from a well, I guess Travis is too.
But, and Walker's not striking out much lately either.
Yeah,
if he can make that stick, then it's tougher.
Walker's so streaky. I just wonder if he's beginning a month kind of like his April here, because it was 3 months of nothing after that. But Travis, I do like more overall. I mean, we're talking about the rest of time. I keep having this issue with Travis and Jonathan Scope, who I think have become very similar players. And in my rankings, I just keep flip-flopping them based on who's hotter. Which right now, it's Travis.
Is Travis's plate discipline, has it gotten bad?
It's not as bad as Scope's. Okay, yeah. It's not good, though.
Now, with Neil Walker, one thing I noticed about him, because he's in his last 13 games, Neil Walker's batting .491 with four home runs. In the 15 games before that, he batted .115 with one home run, but he's having a really nice power season, Walker. He's got 20 home runs. That is really the only category he's excelling in. He's on pace, Neil Walker, for a .273 season with 31 homers, with only 80 RBIs, 75 runs, 5 steals, and how about this? 13 doubles. He's hit barely any doubles. He's on pace for 13 doubles. So it's weird. He's hitting a lot of home runs. That's pretty much all he's doing.
Well, you know, there's a certain type of hitter that we see that homers more than they double. And there's almost always a common link among them, and that is that they hit tons of fly balls. And the Mets, last I looked, lead the major leagues in fly ball rate. They did last year, too. I got to think there's some connection here with Kevin Long. Mm. But Walker kind of adapted to the team profile when he came over.
Okay. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know who's another good middle infielder? Logan Forsythe. Forsythe has 3 home runs in his last 4 games, and here's what's cool. They're all off of righties. Now, I gave this stat yesterday, guys.
Mm-hmm.
The Rays had faced the third fewest lefties. They had the third fewest at-bats against lefties in baseball this season, which was probably helping Brad Miller and somehow wasn't helping Corey Dickerson, that bum. But Forsythe is a guy who was a lefty masher, not so good against righties. Well, now he's, you know, pretty respectable against righties and not as great against lefties, having a really good year without facing a lot of left-handed pitchers. Your thoughts on Forsythe?
He's fine. I mean, I feel like he's more in Walker's class than like Travis and Scope and that you could do a lot worse than him, but he's not somebody you should be particularly excited to start either, especially given how much depth there is at the position.
Wow, really? I'm excited to start Logan Forsythe every week.
I actually just dropped him in a points league, so the smaller lineup, for Trey Turner.
I could see that.
I mean, Turner's been good, but hasn't quite fully established himself as mixed league material, at least startable mixed league material.
I do like Forsythe a little better than Scott does, and yet I'll agree with the assessment that he's kind of borderline for a shallower format like that. But in one of my head-to-head leagues a couple weeks ago, I dropped Travis, which of course now I regret greatly. But you know, there's a lot, like you've said already, Adam, there's a lot of good at middle infielders now, so Forsythe doesn't stand out the way that he did even a year ago.
Well, what do you guys make of Jose Ramirez, who went 2-for-4 with a double, and he's batting .305 now. He's also on a hot streak, batting .431 over his last 13 games. So Jose Ramirez, batting average up to .305. He's got 13 steals, good plate discipline, 27 doubles in 102 games. Yeah, what do you think about this guy?
Yeah, I like him. I could kind of say for him what I said about Forsyth, although I think Forsyth is more valuable than Ramirez. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, Ramirez's skill set, I think, would have made him stand out a little more. The steals certainly help him, I think, in the current landscape. You know, but I couldn't see rostering Ramirez in a standard points league.
Well, that's the more valuable format. I mean, I guess the roster sizes are too small.
That's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, he doesn't strike out much, so that certainly works in his favor, but it's a small roster size.
Let's do some rankings then. Rank those guys. Jose Ramirez, Devin Travis, Jonathan Scope. We'll get to him in a second. Jose Ramirez, Devin Travis, Neil Walker, and Logan Forsyth.
So I would go Travis, Forsyth, Ramirez, Walker.
I'll flip-flop Walker and Ramirez. Okay. But otherwise, I agree.
And not a lot to separate the four.
And the bad middle infielders, Joe Panik and Tim Anderson. Ew. Are you guys ready to drop Joe Panik and Tim Anderson?
Yes. Yes. Maybe not Anderson in a roto league because there is some steals potential there, but it's not like he's been tearing it up as far as that goes. I'm not starting him right now.
I did drop Anderson in our very deep podcast categories league to pick up Didi Gregorius. So yeah, I'm done with him.
Gregorius is better.
Anderson has 4 steals, not 2. He has 2 since July 1st, but 4 steals. I can't believe he's their leadoff hitter with 3 walks to 62 strikeouts.
Yeah, remember when he got off to that hot start? We were like, okay, but he never walks and he strikes out every other at bat.
Yep.
So it's come to fruition here.
What about Jonathan Scope? We briefly mentioned him. Jonathan Scope went 1-for-2 with a double and a walk yesterday, but over the last 21 games, .210 batting average with 1 home run. He does have 5 doubles, but 2 walks, 17 strikeouts. So Scope has gone cold. I think I'd rather have Forsyth than Scope. How about you guys?
Definitely in a points league, no question there.
Yeah,
I think in a roto league too, but it's the gap is close there.
I don't know. I don't think it's no question in a points league. I mean, he's still top 15, I think, in points to date. So
I'm sure you don't have access right now to the points per game or points per plate appearance. I would think that Forsyth would be better.
Well, I'll tell you, a big X factor for me is that Forsyth is, this is more relevant in points leagues. Really, maybe any weekly format. He leads off, and Scope, I think he batted 9th yesterday. I don't know exactly where they've been batting him, but I believe Forsyth is going to have a decided advantage in plate appearances over Scope and over some other middle infielders that you might be looking at, which is one of the reasons I like Logan Forsyth.
It's not a strong preference for me either way. I mean, if Forsyth is the hotter hand right now, fine. But at some point, Scope will be instead. So either way.
Hey, stay tuned, everybody, for the Vince Velasquez eye roll and what it means. But first, I want to talk about Miguel Sano, who's heated up. Last 6 games, Sano has 4 home runs and a nearly 1,500 OPS. And he DH with Trevor Plouffe back. But let's look at the 2 seasons for Miguel Sano. Last year, he played 80 games. This year, 81 games. So I'll save batting average for last for Sano. But home runs, 18 last year, 19 this year. Doubles, 17 last year, 15 this year. 1 triple last year, none this year. Strikeouts, 119 last year, 121 this year. And they're within 3 runs of each other, too, the 2 seasons. So basically the same amount of home runs, doubles, and strikeouts. But he batted 20 points higher last year, .269 compared to .249, and Sano drew 10 more walks, 53 walks to 43 walks in 1 fewer game. So when you look at Sano... go ahead, Al.
Didn't Sano have a very high BABIP last year?
I'm not sure, what I was going to say is when you look at Sano, it's just the batting average that seems to be the difference, and the walks. But I thought it was pretty interesting, the striking similarities in 80 games last year, 81 games this year, guys.
Yes. It is. Yeah, he had a 396 BABIP last year. Still 341 this year, for what it's worth. I think, I mean, the similarities between this year and last year, I don't know if a lot of the people who rated Sano as highly as they did were expecting improvement. I guess they wouldn't be from batting average, but just kind of all around improvement, maybe even a better home run pace. I don't know. I feel like he's given more or less what I've expected from him. Did the Twins feel that way? I mean, there was some talk of them sending him down to the minors before he got hot, and he's managed to stick around even with Trevor Plouffe coming back from the DL, so it doesn't look like that's going to happen now. But it seems like there's a lot of disconnect with this player, both in terms of where fans and observers' expectations are for him, what his production actually is, and what management seems to think of them. They just seem so far apart from each other, which kind of worries me.
All right. Well, are you considering Sano a must start?
No.
No.
Okay. Roto league, maybe. He's close, but.
Yeah, in a points league, he sits for me more often than he plays.
Let's look at some of the pitchers from yesterday. I think we should start with Vince Velasquez, who got lit up 4 1/3, 11 hits, 9 runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, and gave up 3 homers at the Dodgers. 6 starts coming into this game, 2-1, his previous 6 starts, 2-1 with a 3.25 ERA, but a high whip, because 33 hits and 17 walks in 36 innings with 34 strikeouts. You know, and he never goes more than 6 innings. But anyway, Velasquez, who frustrates me so much, as you can tell. we read an article this morning about Velasquez, and apparently his manager, Pete McCannon, wanted him to use his changeup more. And he was told about this. This article was in Philly.com, and he rolled his eyes. Because apparently he just tried to throw his fastball by the Dodgers. It worked for one inning, and then he got blasted. And this article made reference to the thought about him, about Velasquez, that he's more of a thrower and not a pitcher. The writer wasn't saying that, but that, I guess, is a sentiment about Vince Velasquez. He's kind of worthless, I think. What do you guys think?
Oh, I think that's putting it pretty strong. And
bad whip,
before this,
no innings.
Well, how much does this start contribute to the whip, Adam?
I said in the 6 starts before this, he gave up 17 walks and 33 hits in like 35 innings.
Well, he also had given up, this is 8 of his, 2 earned runs or fewer. Prior to this start, 2 earned runs or fewer in 8 of 9 appearances.
That is
so,
the only thing. Well, he's giving you strikeouts and ERA. Right? But the ERA is in 5 or 6 innings, and the whip is terrible.
You know who I think he's on a level playing field with is Steven Matz. They both got off to this start that was like, wow, this guy's a big breakout pitcher, must start. And now, I mean, they're pretty good most of the time, but not so good that you feel like you have to keep them in your lineup. And on occasion, they'll get blasted like this.
I cannot believe you just compared Vince Velasquez to Steven Matz. I would have it in my right mind to fly to Florida and yell at you in person for this.
I can't look up the numbers now because Baseball Reference is down, but I bet if you look at Steven Matz's whip recently, it's higher than you believe too.
Yeah, I know he hasn't been great, and he's got the bone spurs and whatever, but I think he's a lot better than Velasquez. I mean, the best you can hope for from Velasquez.
There's nothing statistically that would back that up, Adam.
His whip is one full point lower. Well, I don't even know how you would say it. 1.36 for Velasquez and like 1.25-ish for Matz.
But that was after Matz was coming off a great start and Velasquez was coming off by far his worst start of the season, right?
But I just told you in the 6 starts before, and yes, it was, but in the 6 starts before this for Velasquez.
But you're talking about Steven Matz's season whip. You can't apply Steven Matz's season-long whip and then just take Velasquez's recent whip.
Where do you want me to start with Steven Matz?
I don't know.
How about his last seven starts?
What game log are you looking at? I can't get it up in front of me.
You can get this year's game log on Baseball Reference. It's having some issues. Okay. He's given up 45 hits and 11 walks in 43 innings in 7 starts.
Well, okay, and I'm not looking at the game log, but just in terms of the types of pitchers that they are, I certainly have a lot more trust in a certainly a healthy Steven Matz.
But he's not healthy. Oh, yeah, that's what you're saying. You have more faith in him when he is healthy. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not really I think I'm pretty much in the same place with these two pitchers now. So, so I have to say I'll take Scott's side on this because and in fact, Velasquez is probably going to make my rotation more often than Matt's, or I should say pitching staff, because I'll use him in an RP slot.
Yep.
Well, I mean, fine. But, in a quality start league with Vince Velasquez.
Okay. Yeah, then Matt's definitely gets an edge.
It's a terrible format for him, and I don't really trust him to get them any wins either.
You're talking about the standard points format, which, I mean, Matt's doesn't pitch a lot of innings either. It's not like he's going seven innings. He's rarely breaking six himself. I think they're almost identical in what they're providing for you right now, except Matt Velasquez has the better eligibility. I own Velasquez in two leagues. They're both points leagues. And I have a very hard time not starting him every week just because I feel like there's always a hole in either a starting pitcher spot or a relief pitcher spot that he's easy enough to plug in there.
Okay, other starters from yesterday. Zach Greinke, do you think he will be a fantasy ace rest of season?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. This is a pretty encouraging return start. Not great, but for the first start in a long time, I'll take it.
John Lackey, you think he's more or less a must start?
I think he's back to it. He was pretty shaky there for a while, but Lackey seems to have gotten back on track.
Lackey's backy.
Mm-hmm.
Kenta Maeda, is he running out of steam? He's struggling a little bit lately, and he's not going very deep in the games.
Never gone deep into games, Adam. We talk about this every time he pitches. He's on pace for like 185. This is just who he is, and you know, it's good enough to start pretty much every time, but he's no ace.
Trevor Bauer, are you guys... I was pretty much ready to drop Trevor Bauer in the fictitious league that I own him in because I don't own him in any leagues, but I was pretty done with Trevor Bauer. He had a good start yesterday at the Nationals. Would you preach patience with Bauer, or do you think he's expendable?
Expendable.
Okay.
Fringy pitchers? One start amongst a bunch of not very good ones.
Right, and the control was really bad. Do you want any of these guys on your team? Tyler Chatwood, Drew Smyly, Luis Severino.
Not Chatwood. I mean, deep league, fine. I do own him in a couple of deeper leagues, Chatwood. But, Smyly, you'd like to see more strikeouts, obviously. But the fact that, he pulls in a quality start at Toronto can only be a good thing. And, Severino, I think the upside is worth waiting for there.
Okay, yeah. Severino, you're not jumping ship after last night?
No.
His off-speed stuff is just not good enough, but it was a tough matchup. We'll see how he does against the Rays later this week. Are any of the following players anything more than just maybe a start him in a two-start week if they have good matchups? Guys, Hector Santiago, Brandon Finnegan, Mike Leake, and Wade Miley.
They're barely that.
Yeah.
I saw you picked up Miley in a couple of leagues this week, right, Adam?
I did. I started him in a couple of leagues, and it made sense to me. He was pitching pretty well before the trade. And he had a bad start in Camden Yards. These were two road starts at Oakland and at San Francisco. San Francisco's not very good right now, so I don't think these are tough matchups. And I guess so far, so good. The strikeouts weren't there, but quality start for Miley. Two runs in six innings. Not a good whip. But I'll take it.
The strikeouts aren't going to be there for Miley. And the reason I noted that you got him is because I think those were both leagues where you got the claim over me. So I was trying to get Miley too. I think for this particular two-start week, Miley would be fine. And like you said, so far, so good. The other three, maybe the closest to somebody I might start in a two-start week is Santiago. But there's just way too many situations where I don't trust him. And Finnegan and Leake, I don't even like for those situations.
Any interest in these guys in deep leagues? Tyrell Jenkins, Chad Kuhl, Zach Neal, Daniel Norris.
Kuhl and Norris. For sure. And Kuhl is I think, pretty typical of a pitcher that could really pay off in a two-start week, but not likely to get a lot of strikeouts from Kuhl. Good enough control, good enough strikeouts, that with two starts, he should pay off. Norris hasn't, been going deep into games, hasn't been healthy, but, as with Severino, just a lot of potential there.
I'm going to ask you guys a trivia question.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie, a 1980s movie.
Ghostbusters.
And there's a character in the movie, a young
TJ Rivera.
a grandson, and the kid's name is Cool.
His first name is Cool?
His first name is Cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Do you know the movie?
A grandson?
It is directed.
Is he like a little boy or like
little
an adult?
Little boy. It is directed by Ron Howard.
Gee.
Steve Martin and Rick Moranis are in it.
Hmm.
Keanu Reeves is in it.
What?
Dude, this is one of the greatest movies. This is one of my all-time favorites.
This is a movie I haven't seen.
Joaquin Phoenix is in it. What
a
cast.
He was around in the 80s? What?
Yeah, man. This is a great one. This is Parenthood.
Oh.
You ever seen Parenthood?
Movie. Yeah. It's good.
Oh, come on. It's great. Such a feel-good movie with some very feel-bad moments in it. But it's great.
Sounds like a lot packed into that movie.
It is. It's a story of four different families, basically. They're all related, but it's kind of like Modern Family, but dramatic, but with funny moments too. Like, you know, where you have the stories from each family kind of intersecting, sort of that setup. But that's a great movie. I love it. I spent time talking about the movie, and I do apologize. We have to end the show early today. We've had some technical issues, so I got a late start. My fault. I apologize. But we're going to end the show now and save your emails for tomorrow. If you want to email us your Al moments, your players you're hoping for a big finish over the last 8 weeks, email them at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Scott and Al, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Good stuff.
Good talking to you, Adam. We'll do it again sometime.
I'll be back tomorrow.
I didn't believe it from Scott, but that's okay. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Machado.